from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast, guest starring Larry Williams this week, in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, remembering Tom Petty with somebody who interviewed him once, Labour's spending hole, it's a real thing, according to Larry Williams. Hamilton, city of the future, and civil defence woke me up this morning, which is why I'm grumpy. But before any of that, will they ever do anything about gun control in the States?
To the Vegas shooting, Cal says, LA and gun control, seems the gunman took the guns and put them on his workbench and modified them to full automatic with tools. He then shot all those people from the 32nd floor. So are they going to ban workbenches, tools and tall buildings and casinos, or just guns, says Carl. It's a good point. I mean, he had, what, 23 guns in his hotel room, and an additional 19 were found at his home, and explosive and so on and so forth. Of course it's insane that anybody can buy these automatic machine-type guns, military-type guns, but this guy modified, it seems, modified these guns, and anybody, it seems, can do that for little cost. But yesterday we had the usual anti-Trump mob trying to tag Trump with the mess. A CBS lawyer who basically said the victims were probably Trump supporters or Republicans and didn't deserve sympathy. Well, she got fired, and fair enough. Look, the failure to implement stricter gun controls applies to both Democrats and Republicans. Mass killings in the US are most often carried out with guns, usually handguns, most of them obtained legally. The politicians have rejected tougher gun controls before, and I got to tell you, I suspect they will do so again.
Unfortunately, I am with Larry on this. I suspect nothing will come out of this either. And if anything, gun sales will go up. People will want to protect themselves when they go to country music festivals in Las Vegas, probably. Now, Tom Petty, of course, passed away yesterday. Richard Driver, formerly Dick Driver, met him.
He was a true rock star. What made him so popular, do you think?
I think he was consistent, and he was, like, he endured through so many years and so many different fads and phases, and he stayed true to his roots. You know, he was like a heartland rock artist. That's what Billboard magazine called him. They compared him to Bruce Springsteen and Bob Seger. Very sort of blue-collar music, you know, working-class music, nothing pretentious about him personally. When you meet him, he's the most unpretentious person that you could ever meet.
Well, isn't that interesting? I saw a clip of him yesterday. I mean, you dealt with a lot of big egos, didn't you, when you were doing Radio with Pictures all those years? He seemed to be a very private person.
He was very private. He was very serious about what they were doing. I mean, he wasn't so serious that, you know, he was very fun to be with, but he was very focused on what he was wanting to do, you know, with his recordings. He took it very seriously, and the band at that point in 1986 had been together for 10 years, which 10 years is a long time for a band, but, you know, he got to the 40th anniversary this year, which is remarkable.
They seem to be, Tom Petty seemed to be continually touring. That was his big deal, was it? That's where he made his fortune?
Yeah, definitely. He was on the road for a very long time. I mean, that's what you have to do to get yourself to that level. You have to get out there and play to as many people as you can. And, you know, playing live, it brings you closer together as a group, as a music group. You know, you just get all those hours on stage, and you get instant feedback from an audience on the songs that you're playing. You know, so it's not just a moneymaker, it's actually a testbed situation to fine-tune what you're doing.
Oh, I remember Radio with Pictures. Dick Driver, Karen Hayes. I thought they were the coolest people in the world. I did not understand what they were talking about, or the music they were playing, or what they were wearing, which is why I thought they were the coolest people in the world. Those were the days. Now, Labor, how will they pay for all the stuff they've promised? Larry's a bit worried about this.
I have the feeling, and it's just a feeling, that Mr. Peters has pretty much decided which way he's going to go, and just a feeling, National might have missed out here, may have missed the bus here. I don't know, just a gut feel. How Labor marries up their $23 billion of spending promises and New Zealand First's $28 billion of promises, I have no idea how they're going to do that. Going to be massive cuts. Has to be massive cuts. Labor has already spent their budget for the next 3 years. Remember, I talked about the hole. It wasn't a hole, but I tell you what, they're short of funds going ahead for 3 years. I don't think they had a lot of wiggle room in 2019-2020 budget. So you marry all these, and the Greens, of course, oh, they'll be on the side, but they have some spending plans, you betcha. So how this all gets married together, I have no idea. The Greens are now thinking that they may talk to National, but only if the Prime Minister calls them. Well, I'm not sure that's an option now, frankly. The other option, which is being talked about, is New Zealand First sitting on the crossbenches, which would mean every time National wanted something, if it was National, they would, and I suppose it would be because they got 46% of the vote if they're sitting on the crossbenches, but they would have to go and grovel to New Zealand First. Not a good outcome for the country. Better if New Zealand First, Mr. Peters, flips one way or the other, I believe.
Didn't get to do any Winston watch today, at day 11. So I made a whole ID for Winston watch day 11, and it never got played. It's what we don't use on the Mike Hosking Breakfast that makes it so good. But don't worry, we're certainly talking about how Hamilton wants to be the distribution centre for Amazon if it ever finally comes here.
So are you serious about this?
Look, very serious about this. When I saw that they were moving into Melbourne, I thought about what they needed. And basically, look, it's just three things. They need space, obviously, for their distribution centre. They need their transport links for deliveries to their customers. And they need quality IT infrastructure. And we have tons and tons of excellent quality of all of those things that we can provide them.
No doubt about that. How are you going to sell it to Amazon?
So we already have a contact through which I'm not going to reveal to you, through an associate with a direct link to a senior exec. So we've got, I think it's the pitch that we can deliver is great. With it, in terms of our transport links, we're in the centre of the freight triangle between Auckland and Tauranga ports for roads and rail. And rail, I think, is where the future is at. We've got super fast highways with our Waikato Expressway and the Hamilton Ring Road, which will connect our airport to the south of the city. And we just don't have the congestion that Auckland roading network has at the moment. And, of course, we're a safe city, Larry. In this day and age, it's, you know, a major consideration when choosing a location for a distribution centre of this size, and Hamilton is geographically stable in terms of earthquakes and flooding. So
right, no, that's all fair. No, that's all correct.
If I'd known we were doing that interview, I would have worn my Hamiltron City of the Future shirt to work. In fact, I've worn that so often it fell to pieces, to be honest. Bernadine Oliver Kirby gave me that. She's a Hamilton person as well. So, yeah, we'll have to stop calling it the Tron and start calling it the Zon, I think. Hamilzon or Hamazon. That's got a ring to it, don't you reckon? We're going to finish up here with me being very annoyed with Civil Defence. Their alert system, great system if it only worked properly.
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
Well, there was a flurry of social media activity in the middle of the night, with many Kiwis being woken up by Civil Defence text messages. There's a text message, a test message. But not just one or two, three messages in total. I think they came just after 1 o'clock. This one says, "Wife is awake, angry and blaming me. If it happens again, there will be a genuine Civil Defence emergency in Kashmir." Another, "Legit thought I was going to die here alone under rubble, seawater and possibly lava. Thanks, Civil Defence NZ, feeling great." Another says, "Hope at NZ Civil Defence is ready for the Civil Defence emergency of grumpy, exhausted Kiwis up and down the country tomorrow." And finally, "Civil Defence, it has stopped being funny. You are drunk. Go to bed." So there we go. And we've got Glenn, who's been very grumpy this morning.
Was it sorry, three? Sorry, sorry. Did I was just drifting off there, Larry.
Yes, I... You're asleep.
I usually have two coffees.
Yeah.
You know, during my morning's preparation, but I feel the need to go back for another one now.
Yeah, and you got the app, have you? You
no.
Had the app. You didn't have the app.
I haven't... This is... Everybody's saying, I've signed up for it. I've subscribed to it. I haven't subscribed to anything. I've just got a buzzing, angry phone, which I thought was on Do Not Disturb, and Civil Defence have decided to just come into my cyber life.
Okay, was it a text? Did it say test? It was a text saying
yeah,
test?
Yeah, no, it was three texts, Larry.
Saying
one,
a test.
Well,
yeah.
139.
Oh, look at Smith. Look at Leighton Smith. He's furious.
Yeah. Don't worry, we're out for blood.
I'm sorry,
Heads
Leighton.
Will roll, won't they, Leighton?
Yeah.
Yep.
Leighton looks asleep. I'm sorry, Leighton. Well, it's not my fault. You know, I didn't get one. Not that I know of.
So, yeah, wall-to-wall coverage of Glenn ZB being angry at Civil Defence on News Talk ZB this morning, and indeed on the New Zealand Herald website as well. Look out for the Focus video with me also being angry at Civil Defence. I feel that I've been so angry at them so publicly now that next time a disaster happens, they'll deliberately leave me out of it and I'll be in the middle of it. I wonder if they can they actually control which directions disasters go? Oh, no, they can't. So I'm not really that concerned. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap. We'll wrap it up for you again tomorrow. I'll try and sound less grumpy depending on what time Civil Defence wakes me up then.